The controversy over Virginia Governor Ralph Northam and blackface.
Drake in blackface. Drake in blackface. Drake in blackface. Drake in blackface. Drake in blackface.
NBC Today host Megyn Kelly's show was canceled this past week following her on-air remarks expressing acceptance of blackface.
Drake in blackface. Drake in blackface. Drake in blackface. Drake in blackface. Drake in blackface.
When Justin Trudeau next faces reporters and Canadian voters, the whole country will likely be leaning in. Another image of Trudeau wearing what appears to be blackface.
Drake in blackface. Drake in blackface. Drake in blackface. Drake in blackface. Drake in blackface.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Oh, yeah. We changing places. It's E Green. We ain't got no Kurt G this week.
So, Kurt G, bro, I'm going to go ahead and just blow his whole thing up. Kurt G, you know, his wifey's birthday, so he's rocking that Billy Ocean Love Zone.
Under love zone. And hey, good for him, though.
Yo, no doubt. Shout to my dog. So that's what that's
the Love Boat.
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
Not that DC Love Boat. I'm talking about the Love Boat TV show.
Oh, Captain Stooping. So anyway,
Isaac over there getting drinks and shit.
Yeah, right. So yes, we are the Hip Hop Digest. Thank you for rolling with us.
Yep.
No doubt. So we ain't gonna waste too much time. How about jumping right in the pool?
Let's go, man.
All right. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Coach Deion Sanders, formerly known as Neon Deion, formerly known as Primetime. We're going to talk about that.
What's he got going on?
We're going to talk about that because it was hot and heavy at the end of the last show. And you was like, yo, we got to talk about this Deion Sanders. Got to talk about the whole situation. And you done calmed down now. You done been around the globe or whatever. You know, now Deion is still coaching Colorado. Still, every place they show up is a sellout crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I want to get to is the early player hating.
Oh, wow.
By other analysts and coaches.
Well, that ain't new, you know.
No, well, as
that
long
was happening
as,
at that HBCU as well amongst his peers.
That's true. Yes, that's true. But I think that I'm not going to say a more tangible hate. I think they were player hating. They knew who he was. You know what I mean? It's just like we know who he was. The same character, the same, you know, outlook on life, the same, always been that way. But now he's doing it at a Division I college, racking up some reasonable wins, losing some games. I mean, he's, you know, just
well,
like any other
losing
team.
Games that he was expected to lose, or any coach would have been expected to lose in his situation.
Right.
We talking about USC and Oregon, B.
Right. No doubt. So what I want to get your opinion is the statement that he made is that, you know, when you see a black man walking his walk and talking his talk and doing what he do, it makes people uncomfortable. You know, it's going to make, I'm just going to say the larger, and it's just for sake of conversation, the larger white community of coaches. I don't care if it's Clemson. I don't care who it is. You know what I mean? I don't care if it's Alabama. I ain't naming names. I don't care.
That's his boy, though.
That's his boy. Okay. That's real.
Kind of.
Okay. That's real.
Affleck.
Does this change a landscape, or is he a one-off?
Wow, that's a multifaceted question. He is not a one-off. Because we've had this discussion before, and just a little preface. I appreciate a black man who stands in his shoes firmly, whether it's Venus and Serena's dad, whether it's LeVar Ball, whether it's Deion Sanders, Muhammad Ali. If you are great at something, and nobody can't say that you're not great at something, and you're living on that like you're great, then I personally can't do anything but respect it until somebody knocks you off, and then we see how you respond. Okay? And to Deion's point, when they got their ass whooped by Oregon, he stood in his shoes. He didn't hide it. He didn't fight it. He didn't run from it. He said, we got our butts whooped, and we gonna be better.
Well, I think that makes him a coach, you know, in a typical sense of the word. And what I want to get to is the uncomfortableness and the fact that college football has been one way.
Yeah, it has.
Okay, now you got this whole transfer portal. You have him openly talking about, you know, the guys that we have on this team who are going to go pro, getting ready for them to go pro and what to expect. I got guys on this team who probably not going to go pro, but I'm ready for them, getting them to step into six-figure jobs. You know, the whole, that's not the landscape of what college football has generally been. You show up, you know, you got folks saying you just shut up and play ball. You getting a college education if you take advantage of it. If you don't,
I know, right?
Yeah, right. You know what I mean?
Well, all the while making billions of dollars for the NCAA.
Right.
But going to snatch Reggie Bush's trophy and accolades for getting a dinner and a suit.
Exactly. And this is where he is changing it. I guess that was my question. Are those folks who have usually benefited from that, does he change that? In your opinion, does he change that? Is there the next, let's say, coach, you know, whatever, Middle Tennessee figure, and you know, like they used to say in Alabama, the Bear Bryant, we gonna get us one of them?
Oh yeah.
To bring in an African American guy, maybe, you know, he ain't Deion, but maybe he can talk trash.
For sure. Yeah. There's only one Deion Sanders.
Yeah, he ain't Deion, but maybe, you know what I'm saying? It gives that whole thing, you know. I don't know. I
cares just, about the players.
Yeah, right. And that's the thing.
Because those other coaches that you mentioned, even that one down there at that Crimson School,
they
care about wins. They care about national championships and recycling great players out of high school to come to their program to win for them. You feel me?
Yeah, feel.
I don't see Deion doing that. I see Deion trying to have it in a total win situation. Not just winning games, but winning life.
Yes.
And that right there is a great change that has needed to be there all along. Because we talk about the billions, but you couldn't give a stipend. Are you gonna say, oh, well, you're getting a degree? And there's a whole lot of people out in this world with a degree that are not benefiting from those degrees.
Well, again, like I said, that is the change in college sports. A lot of people have made that change happen. You know, the Reggie Bushes of the world. You know, I can't think of the brother who bring that big lawsuit. Play for UCLA basketball player. I wish I could remember his name. And not the only one. But shout out to Deion.
Real quick, let's talk. Let's throw Pete Carroll in there for a second.
Okay.
Because he coached at USC when Reggie was there.
Right.
And you don't think that Pete Carroll knew all that shit was going on? That's why he bounced. He bounced and took his career to the NFL.
Okay.
And left Reggie Bush and all of those cats to have to deal with that shit alone. So the coaches have always benefited, whether it's monetarily, fame, or whatever the fuck, they have benefited. And the players, you know, they've been great in college and they move on to the NFL and sometimes they make it, sometimes they don't. But the coaches have continued to be successful. And I am glad to see Deion doing what he's doing. And that's not to say that there are not other coaches that do that as well, but somebody like Deion has brought it to light, and I think that's a great thing.
Okay, and let me go ahead and just throw the other side of the, let me throw a shoe in there to, just to stir up the pot a little bit. A lot of people would say that Mike Krzyzewski did that, but he only picked a certain amount of African American type
to do that with.
Yeah, you know,
yeah, absolutely. And you see what's happening with Duke since things have changed, right?
Indeed.
They're becoming regular.
Indeed.
Huh. So, you know, that's not a shoe in to mess nothing up.
Okay.
That's just a shoe on the same person, different foot, but it's the same situation.
All right.
These dudes, they benefited greatly, and the players had to sneak and get meals and shit like that. So
shout to Bella
Cheek. Done with that.
Shout to Bella Cheek talking about being regular.
Oh. Had to get a dig in there, huh?
Hey, man, I don't want to, you know, shout to the Lehman's Sports Happy Hour. I don't want to step on their toes, you know what I mean, too much.
Yeah, Billy Cheat. Not no mo. They questioning this whole shit at this point.
No doubt. All right, let's keep it rocking. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, now, I was going to come at this from, it is TMZ a little bit, and I was going to come at it from the TMZ angle, but really, to be honest with you, so let me let you know, I started to just come in at it with this Drake Joe Budden's, but then I was like, nah, because that really don't matter. Joe Budden's really don't matter in this situation. I just want to talk about some of the headlines. I've seen your boy Aubrey on the release of his new album.
Oh, you my goodness. I mean? All right, let's go.
All right, so, and this is from the Washington Post. This only publication that I'll name off the break. I mean, this ain't no lightweight blog here. You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
Drake's For All the Dogs is rap superstar's most tiresome album.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Damn, Washington Post?
Yeah, the Washington Post. I'm like, huh? I'm like, what? You know what I'm saying? Drake is a disappointment. These are regular blogs, though. Next top title. Drake is has disappointed African-American women once again.
Wow.
I'm like, huh?
Let me go back to the first one.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, because, I mean, you brought this TMZ-ish in here. So Drake can holler at, oh boy, this goes all the way back to people running up at radio stations.
Okay.
You can holler at old boy, but you can't holler at Bezos for dissing your album? Because you know Bezos owns Washington Post.
I know that. Yeah, I get your point. I get your point.
Oh, so the Washington Post is saying you're washed? And you can't... I'm sorry. I could not let that go by.
Okay, no doubt.
He disappoints women. How does he disappoint women?
Well, I mean, it just goes into a whole thing about his album really, really... speaking to the Kevin Samuels types of the world and dwelling into misogyny. Now, I'm taking these publications at their word. I haven't listened to one single solitary snare of that record.
I haven't either yet.
So, in that case, Drake disses Rihanna and Esmeralda Spalling. Now, I'm saying to myself, what? Hey, look. This is the TMZ kind of portion of it. Okay, yeah, maybe he's still butthurt because she picked ASAP Rocky and she got kids to that nigga, whatever, I guess. All right, whatever. I don't even know what's up with the jazz musician. Maybe he thought he was the man. Maybe she sent him ass on his way. I don't know, just dumb shit. All that to say, with these ridiculous headlines, I'm saying, I just, with all of these ridiculous headlines, man, I tell you, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to continue to say it, the shout to Sim City, but that passion speech all those many years ago, that is not, and I told you so, because I'm telling you, I haven't heard anyone speak as eloquently about your boy other than Sim like that, and how he totally changed the paradigm all the way through He'll Never Fall Off.
Wow.
All the way through the Funk Flex Freestyle Blackberry. All the way through the Quentin Miller reference tracks. All the way through the Pusher T total just undressing, you know what I mean, his ass and putting him on the corner. You know what I mean?
Getting sunned by your boy from down south there.
Yeah, well, of course. You can add that too. Yeah, stay on the porch. You know what I'm saying? I mean, taking a physical beating from Coombs.
Slid through all those albums that Joe Budden did on him. I think it was 4.
I mean, you know, I just say to myself, oh, well. And then, of course, you know, the people who will be like, well, he's the biggest guy. He's the biggest rapper. You got to expect. You gotta expect. No, no, no. Nah, I've been in this game a long time, B. Been in the game before rap is the light.
Tell him something.
Hey, B, done seen a lot. Done seen a lot of cats come and go. You know what I mean? Done seen a lot of phonies in the game. You know?
Lots.
I'm only saying that his latest troubles are his latest troubles, and not to mention whatever he got going on with the other podcaster up the block. And I mean, that's generally TMZ, but you know, hey, at the end of the day, I feel pretty good about my original statement about who he was. And I'm not patting myself on the back, but I feel pretty good because I never really, there's plenty of cats that I don't like and I haven't liked in hip hop, but I could certainly separate sort of the art from the talent, sort of. I'm going to give you an example. Eminem's like that for me. I'm not an Eminem guy, but I tell you what, you listen to Eminem and you extract Eminem off the paper, and then you figure somebody else with those same lyrics over a different cadence, over a different situation, and you're really sitting back and you're like, fuck, this nigga's stupid.
You ain't even gotta do that. You can just go back to them game records.
Okay, no doubt. You can do that too, but...
And I'm not talking about you, JC, on.
No doubt. But you talk about game recordings.
Game recordings, yes.
But what I'm saying is that I'm not an M guy like that. Just like I'm not a Drake guy. But there's a situation that is much different than M off the paper, separating wheat from shaft, if you will. You know what I mean? You separate the wheat from the chaff with your man, the Canadian Bandit, and you still end up with mush. You ain't gonna end up with wheat and straw. But you gonna have
to. That's been his stick the whole time, though. He is not ever. Well, you know, Kurt would say that he could, I guess.
Yes.
But we not sitting here saying, damn, I know Drake made that album, but did you hear that shit on that mixtape he did? We don't get that from Drake. So all we get is what you just said is the mush. And like I said about Dion, I don't listen to Drake, and I listen to the music to be able to speak on it, which we are not speaking on the album yet. But what I can say, all the way back from Sim City, when I used to sit in that chair right there beside where you are, he has done the same thing. And you know what the issue is starting to be in my mind?
What's that?
It's just like we were looking at Jay-Z. Like, God damn, yo, how long you'll be a drug dealer?
Got you.
Now we might want to start looking at Drake saying, like, okay, you know, is this what you are? Do you have anything else to offer? Because this is what I'm hearing. What I'm hearing is it's the same album as the other albums.
Right.
Right? So maybe people are just getting tired of that. Maybe Drake should make a record, and he can do whatever he wants to, honestly, but I'm just saying, maybe he should make a record where he is just spitting fire. And I'm not talking about back to back, because Meek failed us on that. Drake didn't impress us. Meek failed us. So
he didn't. See, he doesn't have it in him. See, that's it. He never had that in him. He never had it in him. So again, like I said, I'm on record, and there's plenty of people, and you know what I'm saying, who on this podcast and others who know I'm on record from day one. I ain't no soothsayer on that situation. You know what I mean? I get it. You know what I mean? He's got a lot of
But he
hits.
Hasn't fallen off yet, though, B.
Well, no, he's not fallen off in the traditional sense of falling off. He's right. Still the man. He's always going to be super wealthy. He's always going to be super visible. He's always going to have a lot of those things that others have. That's why I bring up Coons, you know, not the ass beating notwithstanding. Coons got that too.
Yeah.
But is Coons tomorrow going to say, I'm putting an MC on, and is people going to be intrigued?
He could.
Hell no. People going to look at that like, nah, well, this is another stunt from Coons.
Oh, okay, I got you.
No one's going to be like, yo, Coons got the next Biggie or the next Craig Mack or the next G Dep. Yeah, none of that shit.
Or he would have already done
it. Exactly. So that's, to me, he offers what he offers. He offers what he always offers and what he is.
So would you put him in that, and this is not to be funny, this is real ass question here, would you put Drake in the category of, like, and I'm just throw this term out there, celebrity rapper, like Hammer, like Vanilla Ice, like any of these guys, what's that dude from Flo Rida?
Worse than any of them.
Because no, they're all famous and they rap.
No, he's worse than them.
Damn.
You know why? Because I always, and I say that and I will continue to say it, he was and is a professionally trained actor, and he plays the role of a rapper in a life docudrama probably better than anybody.
Wow.
He's not an MC. He plays the role. So he knows how to dress up, and he knows how to enunciate into a microphone. He plays the role of a rapper.
Damn.
He plays that role. None of them other guys. Look, Vanilla Ice at the time, you know what? Maybe he was a fucking no-soul white boy, but he honestly thought he was a Hammer, Flo Rida, any of them niggas. Now, he's worse than them.
Damn.
It's worse than them because it's all an act. That's not who he is.
Well, it's hard to, again, back to the first thing when I was saying I have an appreciation for a person that stands up for themselves when they are great at what they're talking about. Yeah, Mr. Aubrey, he's great at what he does, but you're putting a whole new outfit on it.
It's just my opinion.
Worse.
Yeah, it's just my opinion. And my opinion has always been harsh. My opinion has always been dismissive. I mean, you know what I mean? How you gonna go from a quasi house album telling niggas to catch up? Now you done bounce back. You know what I mean? Nah, bruh.
To the same thing. Same
right. To the same thing. You know what I mean? And just like you said, Hov is probably the greatest example. Cats is just like, how many times you gonna sing about taking packages from Marcy to Baltimore? You know what I mean? But then obviously, you know, 444, you know, they call him the father of grown man rap. I disagree with that.
Yeah,
Nas before that. Pete Rock and CL Smooth before that. But that's just the historian in me. You know what I mean?
Well,
but
anyway, everybody don't have a history though.
Yeah, but it's shout the Hov. You know what I mean? So as far as that goes, so that, that's kind of the TMZ portion. I'm glad I veered away from that. I wasn't going into the personal beef aspect of it, although I don't know.
Okay, well, I will ask you though, on that line, with these other people jumping out there. I know social media is the devil. But you got these other folks, including that dude who liked to kiss his son back in the day, out there talking. Like, I don't know, man. Social media just allows people to say and do all kind of crazy shit that they probably wouldn't do in your face.
Yeah, but I'm taking my take is from a historical standpoint. You know what I mean? From a historical standpoint, you know what I'm saying? The SimCity story is right there in the ethos of my hip-hop journey. You know what I mean? And that is important. You know what I mean? You know?
That was a big deal at that time.
Man, that was a huge deal. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it allowed me to approach not really knowing who he was, but to approach this as like, okay, tell me that he's 1,000,000% street official. You know what I mean? Mean the equivalent of a KRS-One and a Rakim street official?
When you got two other men fighting your battles for you online, I don't know how much of a man that makes you.
Hey, bro.
I can't imagine Venus and Serena's dad letting somebody else speak for him. LeVar Ball? Somebody speak for him? Come on. Michael Jordan? Somebody speak for him? We talking about greatness, right? These people gonna speak for themselves, but... Anyway, I just want to say this as we clean that fucking subject out. It is okay to not like Drake. Tonight, like his music. Right. I don't care about him as a human being. I wish it well as a human being.
Right, yeah.
I don't have to like his music, and I can say that I don't like it, and indeed. It's okay.
Indeed.
I just want to say that on the record, because everybody out there is like, as soon as you fucking say something, like, ugh, you just a hater. Like, call it what you want.
Hey, I always I said, like, I need that t-shirt that says professional hater on it. I need that.
Hey, Jeffrey Osborne selling shirts that say old school is the shit. Jeffrey telling them.
Damn. So maybe we should get one more t-shirt out there that says stay on that goddamn porch.
Ooh, hey, be careful. A lot of people listen, B.
All right, next topic
on see it, we want one.
I know, right? Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Outkast has finally passed 13 million records, or 13 million times platinum, whatever that is. Take the lead in all-time selling, we'll deem rap record, surpassing Eminem. Speaking of that, congratulations to Outkast. It was a great back and forth on the chain. Oh, whether you consider that record as a hip-hop record.
And half?
Well, I mean, a lot of people were saying that it was, you know, half and half, is that the Big Boy record was the rap record and that the 3000 record was, let's say, the least alternative.
Or pop. It was popular. Yeah, a lot of songs off that his side were popular, B.
Yeah.
Which we'll just say Hey Ya, which people don't even understand the meaning behind that song. But anyway, that song alone blew them up.
Right. I don't understand the whole double disc thing. I guess you gotta count as discs sold. And again, shout out to Outkast. Really on that list though, there's nobody really like Eminem had like four other 10 million plus joints on the list anyway, so he's flooding out the list as far as, like, you know, the hip-hop community and commercial rap goes. Right. But again, doesn't take away from their accomplishment. All of us who are veterans, we certainly miss Outkast and probably miss the type of music they would have made in their prime.
Yep.
Speaker Box and The Love Below would have been just that, another record, if you're getting more Stankonias and more Aquemini. Not that they gotta be the same. It's funny because, you know, you talk about putting out the same record. Those two records are the same group, but they have raised the level of the art each time exponentially.
And shit, was Aquemini a fucking quadruple album or was just a double album?
You know what? I bought the Aquemini off vinyl and it had two vinyls in there.
Okay. I remember that having
As a matter of fact, it's one of the rare records of Aquemini that I bought twice. I think I bought it on CD and I'm gonna have to go dig the CD out, and then I was like, oh, this shit's too fucking good. I went to Tower Records and bought the vinyl.
That's still my favorite of theirs. Of all time, for me.
Indeed.
Aquemini.
I can understand why. I don't know. It's something about Stankonia that's crazy to me.
Yeah,
though.
You just like that Bombs Over Baghdad, huh?
Oh, I love that, B. I'm sorry. It's just incredible. So
that was a sign of things to come, though.
Yes, sir. So, anyway. But yeah, so shout out to them, man. It was a great topic on the text chain, and everybody, you know, chimed in on that. Yeah, they did. That was absolutely awesome and whatnot. So, all right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest. This is something that Swerve brought up. This, I don't even really have this in the saved topics because I didn't really have a lot of topics. But Swerve's talking about giving people flowers. Who are with us today and giving us flowers and giving things flowers or whatever. So I thought about that when I was listening to, and I often, you know, obviously I'm not listening to a lot of new pop rap. I mean, I certainly will dip into the new New York, but as well as old school. So I'm going to talk about a guy, Grandmaster DST. And I want to talk about a record that he has out. Obviously, the popular record was Crazy Cuts. And then he had another record called The Home of Hip Hop. And I hadn't listened to The Home of Hip Hop in so long. And I swear I should go back here and dig this record out.
As he does, folks.
I should have had it out. and whatnot.
It's all good. So you got that portable mic with you right now, so it ain't like you got to stop talking.
Yeah, I'm still. Watch, I can't find it when I want it. Mother, I'm in the Taylor Rock section. It's around.
I see it.
Yeah.
I see it.
Ah! Uh-oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Here it is. I got it.
There you go. Just like that.
Yeah. DST. He's going by the moniker DXT now. So there's a couple of things with DST. The record's called Home of Hip Hop. And it came out because when you listen to the record, you're going to be like, oh, wow. Yo, this guy, he's talking about the beginnings of hip hop. 1985. You see it. Certain listeners can't see it.
Yeah, we're going to you're going to send me a picture of that and I'm going to post it because we're going to give flowers out on socials. Not no ignorant stuff. Good shit.
So anyway, so giving flowers, we're going to get to DST. My personal journey with DST is actually, and I actually have two or three more records by him along with Crazy Cuts. Mm-hmm. But people don't realize the Herbie Hancock record, Rocket, it was DST who did this cutting and scratching on Herbie Hancock's Rocket and went on tour nationwide with Herbie Hancock. And so while we're giving DST, now calling himself DXT, flowers, my personal story is seeing him for 3 minutes, if that.
Damn.
In 1985, sneaking into the Herbie Hancock concert in York College before the security hauled our ass out of there. And here I am. So we get into the concert and shout to Billy Walker. I don't know what you're doing now, bruh, but that was a memory for me. So we get in, and then so we're sort of in between the bleachers, and the lights are so bright, and DST got this gold jacket, and he's cutting. And I'm just like, oh, this is amazing, right? It's amazing. I'm looking at DST, Herbie Hancock there on the stage, the band, the whole shit. You know what I mean? Boom, just as fast, security. They, you know what I'm saying? Damn. Our ass is out of there.
Hey, but you got to view it, though. You were there.
I got to view it.
3 minutes, you got it.
Yes, you got to view it. So this particular 12-inch, I have my glasses here. I got my spectacles. Yeah, this particular 12-inch has the lyrics on the back, and it's called The Home of Hip Hop. And it starts out, can you remember the days when Kool Herc played? You know what I mean? And it goes into a nice dissertation. And this is 85. And he's like, do you remember the days when Kool Herc played? This is 85. So you figure Herc is like 75, 77. You know what I mean? This ain't even really like 10 years, hardly. You know what I mean? And look, I'm not saying that you got to like the record. The record has its own look, has its own thing to it. But I recommend that if you listen to DST, Home of Hip Hop, and listen to the lyrics on there, you would be surprised. And as soon as you said giving flowers, I was like, DST, man. You know what I mean? The diamond cutter himself.
Salute.
You know what I mean? Salute to you. You know what I mean? Played on the biggest pop record of the year in Rocket. You know, matter of fact, didn't he get a Grammy or something or MTV award for that?
For Rocket? There may have been an award for that. I can't say for sure, but something tells me.
I know he got an MTV award for best video. I don't know if he got a Grammy because that would have been considered rap, I think.
Yeah, so it would have. Yeah. Well, no, because it was Herbie Hancock.
It was Herbie Hancock, so yes. Right. So definitely
very well
that.
Could have happened.
But yes, so.
As a participant, not as like flat out his name, here's a Grammy type situation. But you know what? We're going to get that man his flowers.
Indeed. And down here at the bottom of the record on the sleeve, all due respect to the godfather of hip hop, DJ Kool Herc and the Herculoids.
There you go.
Yeah, you just, this is a type of record. This is a document record. And it speaks of the actual events that happened. So,
yeah,
that's.
Well, I'm going to bring up a person who some may say he's gotten his flowers, but I don't believe so. The way he should be receiving flowers.
Really?
And that, my friend, is Fab Five Freddy.
Oh.
Fab Five Freddy is one of the people who is, in my opinion, responsible for hip hop being where it is right now. For Brink, at a time when it was just us, like only us in the corners in the cut, hip hop.
Yes, sir.
He brought a different world into it that opened eyes and ears to what hip hop was. And some could say that was not such a great thing, but it's an amazing thing. Hip hop is worldwide. We might not have 10 albums on the top 100 right now, or the top 10, whatever right now, but there was a time when people were saying that hip hop was the most influential music in the world. It's top of the line. Regardless of the level of rapping, the genre itself was at the forefront of music, and it still may be to an extent. But Fab Five, what he did, bringing people into the culture and spreading that information out here into this world that we live outside of New York and the clubs in New York and the parks in New York, yo. Fab has done a lot. He was part of that, what was that, the Hip Hop Honors on VH1. You know what I'm saying? He's done a lot of production, like for TV and movies, stuff like that. He even sent us a note back in the day. Remember? He sent us a note because we were using the Wild Style.
Yes.
Yes. Insignia, whatever, the logo. He even reached out to us. He didn't tell us, oh, take my shit off. He was like, oh, I see y'all using that. Appreciate y'all for using that.
Right. Yeah. Very.
That was crazy. That's when we were first
down to
out.
Earth. Yeah, very down to earth when he sent us that message.
Yeah, because we were just repping. We wasn't trying to steal the shit. We was repping.
Actually, he tells a great story of when Blondie, Deborah Harry and them was on Saturday Night Live and had struck up a relationship with Fat Five Freddy. Of course, he's in the video Rapture, and and she's co-hosting, and she was like, you know, they contacted him and was like, yo, you know, a musical guest, and he put them up on you know, my brain is not functioning.
All good, brother.
Fuck. he put them up on Funky Four Plus One. Yes.
Okay. Yep.
Yes, and Deborah Harry, how she, you know, loved that they had a female in the group, and that's how they ended up on Saturday Night Live, and just so many different things. His inception of Yo MTV Raps.
Yeah.
You know, yep. I mean,
the Saturday edition.
Yeah, I mean, so oh my goodness, yeah. So he
like I said, some may say that he's getting his flowers, but there are a lot of people that don't understand what he brought to the table in creating this genre of music for what it is right now.
His story is quite remarkable, and his journey in hip hop. And the thing about Freddie that is always 1,000,000 is that he always says it was hip hop. It wasn't him. You know, you got a lot of guys doing a lot of men, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was always hip hop, you know what I mean? From his graffiti days all the way up, you know what I mean? Knowing the people he's known, you know, being where he's been, what he's been responsible for, just absolutely incredible. And he is a guy who definitely deserves his flowers. Like you said, maybe he is getting it. I just saw an interview with him up at the station with them two other it knuckleheads and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It was a great interview, though. I hung on every word. So,
because it was him.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
So I'm sure Kurt will, when he gets off his love zone, he'll be able to participate and throw somebody in there to get their flowers. Don't know how often we do it, weekly, whatever, but we definitely want to make sure that people that are still here, at least from our little show, get some love.
All right, so one of hip-hop's greatest release dates, okay, on this day in 1988, Jay-Z dropped, Outkast dropped. No, 98, I'm sorry. On this day in 1998, I'm sorry, Jay-Z dropped, Outkast dropped, Tribe dropped, Black Star dropped, albums all on the same day. What are you buying?
Wow. Woo. Out of that group, man, Black Star, Outkast.
I think I bought all of them but Hove.
Well, you know I wasn't buying him back then.
Well, I don't know. Let me think here, because I got to go through the article here. Let's see, September 29th, 1998, brought the debut albums of, no, I bought Hove 2.
Mm.
Hard Knock Life.
Got it. You got that one.
Yeah. Equipment Eye, we talked about that.
Yep.
Black Star, Mos Def. Now, only thing I blew is I didn't buy that. I got it on CD, but I didn't buy the album. Blue.
Okay.
Blue.
I think I have that right here, right now. I'm not going to go digging like you do, but I think I have that right here.
Oh, that's great. And then Tribe Called Quest's Love Movement. Now, I bought that single. I didn't buy the album.
I had the CD. I didn't get the album.
Yeah. Now, is that the greatest?
What's a CD?
Is that the greatest release date of all time? I don't know about that.
We got to do some research.
Yeah,
on that,
you'd have to really do some research on that. We generally tend to do years about things that come out in the calendar year. The actual release date. Now, certainly, look, this isn't like back, you know, this isn't the digital era where a junk gets released. You give it the 30-second smell test, and you may not ever listen to it again.
Right.
And whatnot. You know, buying those records, and that's when you listen to them mofos.
Yeah, you had to buy them. And see, up at the 12-inch dance records before it became the Record Hut, you could listen to 12-inches. You could open up the slide. King Killy used to show me how to slide the record on your belt and get the shit open and listen to it right there on one of them myriad of turntables they had. But you couldn't do that with albums.
No, you couldn't.
No, you had to buy the album. I don't know, B. That's and not to take away from that release date, because that's a pretty amazing lineup on that date. But I'm sure if we were to dig into it, we might find some contenders that might want to knock that one off.
Maybe. That would be a great, great situation. Boy, I wish I'd have bought that Black Star on LP.
Yeah, because now you're over the barrel.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I got the singles. I'm good there, but you know
what
I mean?
Call your mans. Call your mans, Talib. He might send you one. When you get done arguing with them women, he'll send you one.
Yo, you call him, you gonna get cussed out, yo. Shit. Yeah, no doubt. So yeah, wow. Let's see here. They got some other records, I guess, that might have been released on that day too. I don't know how true that is. I don't know if Brand Nubian's Foundation, which is a great record, was released on that day. Can't confirm it. Just happened to be there's the Tribe. So I don't know. Hard to say.
Right. My brain is set up right now. I can't just pull it. I'd have to go look it up.
Yeah, no doubt. So yeah, I mean, that's generally, I didn't have a huge show I wanted to get in, because we are going to be a little bit of intermittent shows here for a little while before we can get back in fully crunk. But I mean, sure. But me and Swerve wanted to get the two-man show in there and whatnot.
All love to Kurt, but you are in the love zone. you get that moniker this week, not me.
So you're the only one who had actually had a Billy Ocean on the cover, though.
Oh, sure did. The natural.
Yeah, no doubt. So yeah, I look forward to looking at the text chain for all the Drake apologists and all the people who are talking about can't see the greatness or whatever. You ain't never gonna see the greatness, you know. You'll see everything that Kurt G says.
We've been seeing forever, B. Yeah, and
what Kurt G said is true. You know what I mean? Look, at the end of the day, you're gonna have to swallow a bitter pill. You know, when he's hanging around Rocky Buchano and them, you know,
but
bust.
Nope. That'll come much later. And it won't be for what these folks is going in there on this first round will be on there for, because if it was strictly for sales, he'd be on fucking Billboard Hall of Fame or some shit. And that's okay, ain't nothing wrong with that, but I don't know, he's better stay on that porch.
Yeah, I know, that's what's good. So thank you for rolling with us. We don't have any Digital Freaks albums of the week, because again, Kurt G's not here.
But your boy Peter Johansson gonna be heating.
Nah,
he gonna be able to text chain fingers just flying.
Nah, P gonna be all right. Matt, shout to you too and whatnot. You know, because the real talk, if it wasn't for you guys or whatever, I ain't even gonna front. If it wasn't for the digital freaks, yo, half of this shit I really wouldn't even be fucking with. You know what I'm saying? And maybe because of my age or whatever. But I think it's more like Kurt G is saying, I think I'm ready to return to the beats, the traditional kick and snare. You know what I'm saying? I like the loops, no doubt. I love it, but you know.
I think it's coming back though.
Okay.
It's coming back. Yeah, we'll even see. With some young boys, I had to send you some stuff that Adonis put me on that I was very impressed with. So once we sift through that, then we will bring that out to light.
Indeed, but no doubt.
So it's coming back.
Right. So anyway, but this is just a show that we just touching base with you. Thank you for rolling with us. When Kurt G gets back, well, then you know we'll do it.
And shout out to Diff. We appreciate you for that contribution, brother.
Oh,
thank you very much for that.
Yeah, Diff, my man. All right. Peace. Thank you. Good night.
All right, holla.